Tonight I want to continue our series on problems teenagers face, and I want to talk about modesty. I don't think we have a problem with modesty with anyone that I know here, but I want to talk about it. It's something that our young folks face. It's something they just struggle with every day because many of the folks at school that they go with are dressed immodestly. And so it's something they struggle with, they have to deal with all the time, and so I want to have this lesson tonight to encourage them and to remind all of us of some things. Ruth W. Berinda did a study one time, and she took groups of 10 of adolescents, and she put them in a room, and she showed them three charts, and she asked them which line is the longest. Now, 9 of those individuals had said, always vote for the shortest line. And so there was one person there who didn't know this, and when she said, which one is the longest line? And 9 of them would vote, well, this one over here is. That just happened to be the shortest line. 75% of the time, the person who was innocent, who was the victim here, voted saying that the shortest line really was the longest line, just because of the peer pressure that was involved. The pressure to conform is very strong with the wearing of immodest clothing. So much so that it may be one of the greatest pressures our young people in particularly face. Now, it is true that modesty changes over the years. The styles are constantly changing, and the ideas of what is modest and what is not modest. Here is a picture of one in the 19th century, the late 19th century, and here is a modern day picture. And so in the 19th century, I suppose if all of us could go back into time, especially our ladies here tonight, everyone in society would think our ladies are immodest back in the 19th century by what they're wearing today. You take that and you go all the way back to the first century. Our ladies, we have what they're wearing here in the audience today, they were thought to be immoral women back in the first century. And so styles change and the ideas of modesty change, and the Bible doesn't dictate this is modest and this isn't modest, that you have to have a dress that is so long or whatever it may be to be modest. So we want to look at those principles tonight, and we want to work at applying them just a little bit. Well, you know, even within a single day and time, throughout the world, there are different standards of modesty. There are some in the world who wear very old clothing. And, you know, maybe in Arabia or somewhere like that. And long beards and things like this. And certainly, we do not think in our country that you have to dress that way. There are some that dress like cowboys. And, you know, that's thought to be the modest thing. And not everyone here think that's necessarily to be modest. And some are even dressing like they have their very own harem over here on this side. You know, and of course, not that a harem is right. That's wrong, of course. But you see, very different type of clothing there. And boy, I would hate to see the baby that came, you know, from these two here like that. But, you know, that's just getting totally different from everything else. And then there are some who dress just almost in a scary type of way. And then some who are pretty wild in the way that they dress. And so I figured I'd throw those pictures up there from a party we had recently. And you can thank me, all of you who didn't make it on that little slideshow, especially those who may have dressed in clown outfits. You can hug my neck and thank me just a little bit after the sermon here, and others too. I'm sorry, there were some others I wanted to put up, but I just couldn't do that. But even from the little party that we had, you can see that there are all sorts of ways to dress. So we're talking about modesty this evening. And I wonder how to approach this. And what I'm going to do is just set up some questions to ask ourselves. And the young folks may use these questions to ask themselves, should I wear this or should I wear that? Or maybe when they go shopping, would this be all right to buy or not all right to buy? And so I want to ask these questions that really are applicable to many of the social, moral things we try to figure out in our culture, and I want to apply them to modesty tonight. The first question is God glorified by the way that I dress? And I want you to look at some scriptures with me. The first scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Excuse me, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here the Apostle Paul tells us that our bodies are a temple and that we should glorify God with our bodies. And in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. When people look at you, if you're at the store or the mall and you were to buy something, if you were to put that on and then go to school or go to work or go out with your friends, what other people who look at you, would they assume you are a Christian? Now, I don't know about you. There are many individuals I look at and I assume that they're not Christians just by the way that they are dressed. And so would one assume, and not even have any question about, would they assume that you are a Christian? Certainly, they would not assume that you're some wild pop culture type individual who is on the cutting edge of immorality. But do they assume that you're a Christian? Are you glorifying God and not glorifying Satan in what you wear? Turn also over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. And I don't ask you to turn to these passages so much so that you look into the Word of God and you see something that is so enlightening and so difficult to understand. But I want you to see these passages so that you can study with me tonight. Now the end of verse 20, as we sort of jump into the middle of these things here, get sort of near the end of verse 20. Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And the question is Christ exalted? When we go out in public, when we go out with our friends, when we go to school or work or just walking in the neighborhood, is Christ exalted? Do others look at us and do they see Jesus Christ in us? Do people look at you and do they say, you know, if Jesus were here today, Jesus would be hanging out with those people over there? Because they look like good, moral people by the way that they dress and the way that they act. You remember Super Bowl number 38, very famous wardrobe malfunction. Justin Timberlake accidentally exposed Janet Jackson's breast. CBS was fined $550,000 because of that. At the beginning of the show, girls were dressed in sexy lingerie, and I don't believe anyone was glorifying God. Many people got upset about that. I didn't get upset about that. I didn't even know that it happened till the next day when I was seeing the news or later in the football game when they mentioned it, because the moment the halftime started, we saw what those women were wearing, we turned the TV off. And that's what I believe everyone should have done. Turn off the TV, not even to look at those things, because it was obvious those people were immoral by what they were wearing. They were not glorifying God. They were not exalting Jesus Christ. They were glorifying the devil himself. So ask yourself this question. When people look at me, is God glorified? Is Christ exalted? Here's another question for you to ask. When people look at me, do they think I'm a godly person? We talked about that a little bit by saying, do they assume I'm a Christian? And that's very much the same thing. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, because I want you to see it with your very own eyes as the Apostle Paul talks about it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. We need to realize now Paul is specifically addressing the women here. In just a little bit longer, though, he also addresses the men also. Verse 9, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. This doesn't mean that the young men can go out and dress in an ungodly way. But this is what the Apostle Paul is teaching, to adorn ourselves. Now, it's going to be different in the 19th century than the 21st century. But when we dress ourselves, it ought to be in a very good way, a very moral way, when others look at us and they say, there goes a godly person. Let me ask you this. When you walk by Abercrombie in the mall and you look at the big picture right inside the door that you can't avoid looking at, you look at the young man with that pose. Do you assume he's a godly person or an ungodly person? What do you assume? He's there without his shirt on. He's there with his pants hanging way down low. And he's showing off this upper torso. Great big picture. Now, I don't know if he's godly or ungodly. I don't know if he's a Christian, not a Christian. I don't know anything about him other than that pose. But that pose makes me think he's ungodly, because he would allow himself to be photographed that way. And for that picture to be up there. And to wear those clothes in front of other people, even if it was just a photographer. That's one example. When people look at you, do they assume you are a godly person? I remember some years ago, I was reading through the writings of early Christians. And a lot of that, you read it and you forget it. But there was one story in particular that I've never forgotten. There was a lady who was thrown into the Colosseum. And there she was thrown to wild animals. And one of the animals, I imagine the story said what it was, I don't remember. One of the animals took her and threw her high up into the air. And one of the eyewitnesses' accounts said, as a godly, chaste woman, she was concerned about being covered up. With one hand she took and she made sure that her clothing was in place so that others did not see that which they should not see. Here was a woman about ready to be eaten alive by wild animals. And what was she concerned about? She was concerned about godliness, about displaying godliness in her life. And as she was hurled up in the air before many others to see, that was foremost in her mind. I think about that woman sometimes. And it reminds me how extremely important modesty is for Christians. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something just to do because your parents want you to do it. It's something important to do because God wants us to do it. Here's a third question. When people look at you, do they think you are respectable? You're a respectable person. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. And here Paul is going through many things. Verse 17, he says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Respect what is right. And if I can use that and I can turn it around, be respectable in the sight of other people. You know, there's a big to-do being made recently because some schools and whole cities have made rules and laws that young men can't wear their pants real low and show their undergarments. And that's being challenged to whether or not a city can even make a law such as that. Well, I tell you what, it's not respectable to walk around like that, to be imitating criminals and hoodlums and evil people. That's not respectable. And I think, personally, it's totally appropriate for us to have rules and laws of civility, that it is wrong to walk around that way, and that is improper, and it should not be done. When people look at you, do they say, there's a respectable person? There's someone I respect. There's someone who respects other people. Do they look at you and say, that's a respectable person? Here's a fourth question for you. When other people look at you, do they think wholesome thoughts? Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 4, and you'll remember there the Apostle Paul is giving a list of things that we are to think about, to meditate upon. And it's a rather long list. But verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So look at the things he's talking about. And let's ask this of the way that we dress. Is it honorable? Is it an honorable way to dress? Is it right? Is it pure? Does it profess purity? You know, many today, Britney Spears is one who's been in the news quite a bit. Because recently she's been going out into public with very short dresses. At first she was letting cameramen take pictures of her undergarments, and then they started taking pictures and there were no undergarments. I'm trying not to be too specific about all of this. And so she's one who is not setting forth this idea of purity, but rather the idea of sin, of defilement. And so when people look at you, when they see the way that you are dressed, do they think about purity? Whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good report. If there's any excellence, is it an excellent thing, an excellent way that you're dressing, and praiseworthy? Is it something that other parents would say, you know, you need to look at this young man over here. You need to dress like this. Or you need to look at this young lady over here. This is the way you need to dress and adorn your body. Dwell on these things. When people look at you, what kind of thoughts do they have? You think about when people look at the pictures taken of Britney Spears, the way that she's allowed herself to be photographed and the lack of clothing that she's wearing. Some are saying on purposely letting cameramen take pictures of her in such a way. You can't figure that those fellas taking those pictures are having very wholesome thoughts, do you? And the people looking at those things, wherever they're being displayed, I don't know where they're displayed, they can't have very wholesome thoughts. And us as Christians, we wouldn't even set our eyes upon it purposely. If it came up accidentally on a computer or something, we'd get rid of it right away. We would not even want to set our eyes upon such a thing. Then should we dress in such a way? Should we dress in such a way imitating individuals who do such things as that? Or should we be like the woman who was about ready to be eaten alive because she's a Christian? Because she refused to deny Christ and she was concerned about keeping herself covered up, while many in the world are not concerned about keeping themselves covered up. One final question in this part of the lesson. When dressing or when choosing clothes or going to the mall, we also have to ask ourselves, is this questionable? Because styles are changing. And we're not dressing the way they did in the 19th century. Maybe somebody could say, you know, if we all just dressed like they did in the 19th century, we'd be safe. Or how about if we all dressed the way they did in the first century, we'd all be safe. And men, we couldn't wear pants anymore. I don't want to do that, you know. I don't want to go to that. And so we're always trying to weigh these things out. But as Christians, we're always making sure we are on the conservative side of modesty. Let's look at two scriptures. The first one is Romans chapter 14. Again, general principles, we're just applying these things to modesty. Romans chapter 14, and Paul here is talking about liberty. You know, we do have liberties. One liberty is we don't have to dress the way they did in the first century or the 19th century. But this is what he says about it when we're making these choices. At the end of verse 23, whatever is not from faith is sin. Now let's apply this to modesty. If we are not absolutely sure this is modest, we shouldn't wear it. If there's any question at all whether something is modest, we shouldn't wear it. Young folks, one thing that should bring a question to your mind, if your parents say you shouldn't wear that, that ought to bring some questions up to you. So you have to ask yourself, is this questionable? Turn your Bibles also over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice what the Apostle Paul says here in this. And we're going to add to what we said in Romans 14 just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, but examine everything carefully. Now the clothes we wear, they have to be examined carefully. Examine them carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now let me put it like this. Sometimes we hear about this gray area. Well, this is in a gray area. You know, there may be some question about it. Whether, well, maybe it's getting sort of close to the line, but it's not over the line yet. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us as Christians. Don't even get close to the gray area. Not only do not get close to the line, don't even get close to the gray area. Cling to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So don't even get close to that gray area. Christians, don't even get close to dressing inappropriately. With those five questions, I thought I would take just a few moments and review some tips in overcoming the temptation to dress immodestly. Because at school, at work, with friends, in the neighborhood, bombarded by media, the temptation is there. And the temptation is very, very strong with our young folks because they want to be in the cool group. And I don't blame them. We all want to be in the cool group. We all want to be accepted by our peers. But at the same time, we have to restrain ourselves with many things in life, one of which is the things that we wear. I want to review just a few scriptures with you, and the lesson will be yours. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15. Now here Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy. He's in Ephesus and he's preaching the gospel. And I want to take this, I want to apply it to our topic tonight, and that is modesty. He says, be diligent. And I want to pause there for just a second. And a number of scriptures we could talk about regarding diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, and others we could talk about. Young folks, we have to be diligent when it comes to modesty. We just can't go along with the crowd. We just can't mindlessly follow others. We can't allow those who are making and fabricating these clothes and making all sorts of money off of them to manipulate us to get our money. We have to be diligent to choose those things which are good and are proper. And he says, continue on, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Young folks, be diligent to present yourself approved so that someone looks at you and they say, that's a Christian, that's a godly person, that's a respectable person, that's a pure person. One who is approved by God, doing the right things toward God. Now I want you to look at one more thing in this verse. Yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Dress in such a way that you don't need to be ashamed. That there's no question in your mind that you are dressing in the right way and you are presenting yourself in the right way and that others do have the pure thoughts and the wholesome thoughts. And there is no question in the way that you dress and you present yourself. Be diligent. Present yourself approved and do not be ashamed. Another tip for you is learn from other Christians. And you know, I've done this over the years as a parent. It's so hard, I tell you what. If you don't have kids or grandkids and you're not having to go out and buy clothes for them nowadays, I tell you what, it is so, so hard to find modest clothing. I'm afraid sometimes, I'm guilty of this sometimes, I try not to be, that sometimes as an adult, I'm not part of the solution. You know, it's easy for me to say, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and this is wrong. But I need to be part of the solution. I need to be the one who is in the mall and in the stores for hours on end trying to find something that's modest and yet stylish. Older folks, we need to be part of the solution and just not part of the problem. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, Paul says that we are filled with all knowledge able also to admonish one another. What the apostle is saying there is that we have the knowledge that is required to give one another advice. For us older folks to give advice on modesty and on clothing, we're going to have to do some work. I'll tell you what, if you've not spent some hours in the mall, you can't give anybody that's of a younger age any advice at all. You need to spend time in the malls, and you need to search those racks, and you need to spend 3 or 4 or 5 hours and find nothing and go home frustrated and go back again, because that's what it is like so much of the time. Then we can sympathize with our young people, and we can give them advice as we personally have gone to the malls and investigated and tried to find those things that are modest ourselves. The third tip, continue to grow spiritually. And a number of scriptures we could talk about. And the point with this is, you know, if we're not in this Bible, if we're not in the Word of God, we're going to be drug away so easily. We talked about feelings this morning. Feelings are going to become involved, and peer pressure is going to come upon us. And these feelings are going to draw us away. So we have to stay in the Word of God, and we must be grounded in the Word of God. And the scriptures up before me that you've read many times, we've looked at many times recently. Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now let me tell you this, it's the power for modesty, to have the strength, to have the ability to overcome the temptation. It's here in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Word of God which performs its work in those who believe. And that's modesty. That's what it is. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Listen to this. You've read it before recently. We've talked about it. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What is that? That's modesty. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. What is that? To choose the right clothes, to dress in the right way, to be modest. And then attaining to all steadfastness and patience. To be able to stand there and to overcome the peer pressure and make the right decisions and do the right things and be a modest person. Tip number 4, turn your Bibles with me back over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you know, these tips I'm giving, they're good for everything. Just like the principles with the questions we talked about, we use those same scriptures to figure out whatever it is we're going to talk about, whether it be dancing or whether it be social drinking or other scriptures also. But these tips are the same no matter what we talk about. Now, Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. What's our topic? Immodesty. Abhor immodesty. Cling to what is good. What are we talking about? Modesty. Abhor immodesty. Cling to modesty. And when we have our mind set on that we hate something, we're not going to want to be involved with it. Continue on. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. Again, be diligent. Be fervent. To be a modest person. To go to the mall. To spend the hours. To do the investigation. To search the internet. To find the modest clothes that are available and yet stylish. Continue on. Skipping down just a little bit, just a little bit further. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. That's with all the immodesty around, with hassles to go to the mall, all the hours we have to spend. But verse 12, this is really the point I want to make. Devoted to prayer. Let me ask you this. How much do you pray about modesty? How much do you pray about the peer pressure at school, at work? How much do you pray about, Lord, help me to go to the mall today and to find some clothes that are stylish and yet modest? Lord, I pray that you'll help those who are changing the styles in our country to change the styles to be more modest. Do you pray about modesty? Do you pray about the temptation of immodesty? Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3. Stay focused on spiritual things, not on worldly things. And this is hard to do. Nobody's saying any of this, any of the things we're talking about tonight, that any of these things are easy to do. But I want you to notice just a few things right here. Verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, young folks, everybody realize, you have been raised up with Christ. You are a Christian. So he says, keep seeking the things above. Now let me ask you this, what is above? Is it modesty or immodesty? Which is it? It's modesty. So having been raised up with Christ, we have to seek modesty. And that is to seek, to find, to be diligent in doing these things. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. What is that? Modesty. That's what our minds have to be set on. We go by Abercrombie and we look at the picture there. We got to turn our head. We can't look at that. We can't set our mind on dressing that way and presenting our bodies in that way. We have to work very hard, even at Abercrombie, to go in and find the clothes that are modest and yet stylish. Not to set our minds on the things of the earth, the end of verse 2. Verse 3, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay, what is there? Modesty or immodesty? It's modesty. Verse 4, it talks about Christ coming, us being revealed. But verse 5, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Now notice, immodesty is immoral. Immodesty is immoral. And we must consider our bodies to be dead. In other words, not to have those desires. We must work very hard not to have those desires, not to let that peer pressure get to us, to dress in that way. How do we do that? Stay focused on spiritual things, not on worldly things. One final tip, choose friends who are more modest. You know the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, evil companions corrupt good morals. And there may not be any Christians where you go to school. There may be Christians, but there may not be any Christians in your classes. You go all day at school and you may not see another Christian, or maybe at your work, or maybe in your neighborhood. And so I put there, choose friends who are more modest. You know, we had the lesson last time on friends, and we categorized several different types of friends. And so choose those, they may not be Christians, but they're not wearing the wildest, most immodest clothes, but they're some of the more modest people at school or at work or in the neighborhood, and be with those people. So that temptation is not so great. Finally, let me caution you. Do not fill your mind with immodest thoughts and desires coming from TV and movies. And we have to be very careful. I have to be very careful. You know, there might be a movie the girls watch. They'll watch this movie and I say, okay, fine, but I don't want you to watch it again. We watched it once. Once is enough. One of them might have bought a DVD and we didn't know what was on it. And so we watch it and there are some things there that are questionable. I say, okay, I don't want you to watch this for a really long time. I mean, don't sit around here watching this all the time. Why is it? We don't need to be filling our minds constantly with the junk that is in the world. It all cannot be avoided. And we're strong enough to overcome and to put it in its place, but we can't constantly allow ourselves to be bombarded by all the trash that's in the world. We have to control the trash and not let the trash control us. Don't let your mind be filled constantly with all the trash that's in many TV shows and movies today. It is a problem. It's hard to live modestly in an immodest world. There is a lot of peer pressure. Clothing styles are constantly changing, so we have to constantly work to be modest, yet remain stylish. Test yourself. Does it glorify God? Does it profess godliness? Is it respectable? Does it encourage wholesome thoughts or evil thoughts? Is it questionable? The solution, Draw closer to God every day. Be strengthened by Him through His Word and cling to the positive influences that are in your life. Reject the negative influences. Think about these things, if you will, please. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And I'll have to get my songbook. You can get yours too. All things are ready. All things are ready. If you're not a Christian tonight, all things are ready. You can become a Christian tonight. And you can start your life all over again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, be cleansed and made whole and completely sinless by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does He ask you to do? Simply to believe in Him. Unless you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. Repent of your sins. Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. That's just make the commitment tonight to turn from the wrong and go to the right. Then to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for remission of your sins. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you are a Christian tonight, you've strayed from the truth. Tonight's the night to get right with God once again. How do you do that? You confess these things to the Lord. You pray for forgiveness. If you'd like for us to pray for you tonight, we'd like to do that. If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.